WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Barbara Bogave, in for Terry Gross. This is how one critic describes Strangers with Candy, the Comedy Central TV series starring my guest, Amy Sedaris. It's a celebration of bad taste, political incorrectness, and biting satire, with a high school freak show setting and a cheesy cult movie ambiance. Amy Sedaris plays Jerry Blank, a 47-year-old ex-con, ex-prostitute, recovering drug addict, high school freshman. A teenage runaway, she's returned to Flatpoint High to finish school and learn life's lessons again. Sedaris co-created and co-writes the show with Paul Dinello, Stephen Colbert, and Mitch Rouse, comedians she first met during her stint as a member of the Chicago improv troupe Second City. The idea for the show came from a documentary film Dinello once saw called A Trip Back, about a 50-year-old prostitute and drug addict who turned her life around and began a career as a motivational speaker for high school students. The team started with this premise and then combined it with their warped, satiric take on the after-school special, those half-hour morality teleplays ABC churned out in the 70s for latchkey kids about drug abuse, peer pressure, broken families, and other traumas of adolescent life. Here's a clip from a Strangers with Candy episode about risking unpopularity by going out with the new kid at school. In this scene, Jerry, played by Amy Sedaris, is in a golf cart. Don't even ask. She's with the new kid, Ricky. They're making out when Ricky has a sudden revelation.
Remember how I said I never met my real mother?
Yeah, that's too bad.
I think maybe I just have.
Oh, my dear Lord.
Why, Mom? Why?
Look, you have to understand. I was a teenage runaway for 32 years. I did things I wouldn't force on a mule. And that includes things I forced on a mule.
You just gave me away?
No, no, never. I traded you for a guitar. God, in all these years I've wondered, what happened to that guitar?
Do you even know who my real father is?
Of course I do, of course. Florida, 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 Florida. See, it was either this obese bail bondsman with a hair lip or a Cuban. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a Cuban because they're as thick as flies down there. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is we're together now.
You just can't waltz back into my life and be my mom.
Well, maybe I can be your friend.
That would have been great. But I'm transferring out again. My foster dad just got a new job.
No, I'm going to let you go. Not now, not again.
Well, I have to.
All right. I guess it's for the best. Seems I don't have a job or any maternal instincts. But at least I know you'll be out there, not relying on me.
Goodbye, Mom.
Well, can't we still make out?
What I remember about those shows were they were just so dripping with concern. I mean, even as a really young kid, I hated them. Do you
know.
Do you remember watching them?
Yes.
And actually, I mean, the window in which you take them seriously must be about 3 minutes. I mean,
exactly. We just make fun of them. And the terms they would use were always really queer, which fits for us because we're all in our 30s, and we don't know what the kids are talking about now. So we just go with whatever terms we know, and they must be pretty queer, you know? So we're pretty unhip ourselves, so it's just kind of funny how we just are not in the know.
So what conventions did you mine in coming up with some of the plot ideas? Certainly the getting in with the popular crowd is a...
Yeah, that's always a big issue. And then we would always, we'd come up with a story idea, and then we'd say, okay, what would happen in a real after-school special? You know, morally, we would just try to figure that out, and then we would just try to, you know, find our twist on it. Let's see, we're writing new episodes now that deal with, I find out I'm part Indian. so I go to this Indian camp and find out that I'm part Shingo Beak, and I have to deal with that. I find out that we're going to do a musical on homosexuality, STD, and I have to tell all the people that I slept with, which could take episodes. What else have we got cooking? Oh, mental illness. I found out my mother's lover is mentally crazy, so I'm dealing with that, too.
And, of course, you always have to be just absolutely politically incorrect.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the fun part.
I mean, that must be a rule for your sessions.
Exactly. Yeah, it is. It's amazing. Some things we can't get away with and some things we can, but Comedy Central's pretty cool about it.
The show is, though, unusually raunchy. I remember an episode in which you, as Jerry Blank, referring to your state of sexual arousal, says, you say, "I'm as moist as a snack cake." I
right.
couldn't believe I was
it's
listening
a snack
to
cake
TV.
Down there. Yeah.
Do you ever?
I guess so.
You ever get any getting any trouble with the censors? Is there such a thing as censors? Censorship.
Yes, they do. Say, yeah, we give them the scripts. Yeah, they do, and they tell us what we can and can't say. But some things we just seem to get away with. but we don't sit down and try to be offensive, or we don't try to be dark or anything. That's just our sense of humor, which is good for all, you know, three of us, that we're not just out to do that. But yeah, sometimes they'll slap our hands and say, "Oh, you can't do that."
Physical comedy is really a huge part of the show and part of the problem of talking about it on the radio. But Jerry's looks really come under that category. She has some kind of overbite. Grimace.
Yes. Those are my real teeth, too.
I was going to ask you that. You wear your hair in this weird, outdated, futuristic, or many styles of two-tone swirls up and off the side. And you're thin, but pear-shaped and seem to have too much hip and thigh heft. It's really, really
pretty
ugly.
I wanted a body that is just different than mine in that I like it. I just wanted to be, you know, small on the top and large on the bottom. And I don't know, I just feel it's just, Jerry's very sexual. And I just wanted that kind of body for her. You know what I mean? Because you never get to see a body like that on TV, really. And as far as my wig goes, which first of all is $1,700, and second of all, I wanted to look like a golfer, had the head of a golfer. And then clothing-wise, I went to this woman who does the wardrobe. Her name's Victoria Farrell. All I told her was I wanted to look like I owned snakes. And she just nailed it. They're so good. The wardrobe on the show is, and they hand make things. But I just like the fact that they're crafty like that. Like they'll actually make the dresses for Jerry or earrings. And I love that. You know what I mean? Like, they're good. They're good like that.
Do you wear padding on your lower body or just clothes
yeah,
that
I have
fit
two fatty
really
suits.
Badly?
No, I have two fatty suits on. My dad's real weight conscious, and I had a fatty suit made for my body, and I wore it home to fool him at Christmas time for a couple days, and it worked. And so that's what I wear on the show.
That was years ago, before this whole mm-hmm. episode. You had a fatty suit just made to play with your dad's head.
Yeah, and I didn't have enough money to get the top part made, so I just had it from the waist down, you know, so I had one of those bodies where you could pick up somebody from behind a bar, but the minute you walked around the bar, you could watch them take off. Where you going? Yeah, and it's great. It's just so nice to have a different body.
Well, the funny thing about, getting back to Jerry Blank in the show, the funny thing about this character is that she's really pretty unattractive, but she thinks she's attractive, and she's very into sex, and she's very comfortable with her body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a typical scenario. In fact, you hardly ever see that on TV, that the not pretty girls aren't supposed to be at ease with their sexuality.
All my characters like themselves. I mean, that's one thing they all have in common. I've never played anybody who didn't like themselves. You know, even, I don't know if there's this character David writes, we have in the plays named Piglet or Tula Sackett's where I tape my nose up. And she's horrific looking. And every other word is just a dirty word. But, man, she just loves herself. You know, she wears bikinis and she's just thinks she's hot. But her face is just hideous. You know, I don't know. I just find it easier to play it that way. I like people who like themselves, you know, and it's just enjoyable to watch.
Now, this is somewhat related, but maybe not. I know you once showed up at a photo shoot for Paper Magazine, which has a special edition of the 99 More Beautiful People. And you were one of them, and you showed up at this photo shoot with a hatchet and makeup to look like a battered woman.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I didn't know the issue was on 100 Most Beautiful People. I had no idea that was what the theme was. And I would never have photo shoots. I try to think of, okay, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Because a lot of times a photographer isn't prepared. They just, you know, they want you to come with some ideas. So I just thought I would like to look beat up because I just look great and be really happy about it. So, yeah, I brought a makeup artist with me, and he made me look beat up. And it looked so real. Man, it looked great, and I paid him to do it. So when I walked home, and I as if people were looking at me like I was pretty, you know what I mean? But they were looking at me because I was all beat up, and then they would turn away. You know, it was really interesting to have that many people stare at you. And then I was waitressing that night, and so I wore the makeup to work, and only one table asked me how I was doing. They said, "Are you okay?"
Why
I was
did
like,
you?
Yes, I'm in love, and she's great. I just broke my heart. I paid the guy like $150 to do it, and I wasn't about to go home and take it off.
I'm talking with Amy Sedaris. She's an actress, a writer. She's one of the co-creators and co-writers and the star of the sitcom Strangers with Candy, which airs on Comedy Central Monday nights at 10. Comedy Central calls it its untraditional after-school special. We'll talk more, Amy, after a break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Amy Sedaris. She co-writes and stars in Strangers with Candy, a TV series on Comedy Central, which parodies after-school specials. Your brother is David Sedaris, who's really...
My older brother. Thank you. Go on.
You're older. You're very old, and you, very young, have an older brother who's well-known to... He's well-known to the public radio crowd as a frequent contributor to This American Life. He's also an author of a best-selling memoir. Did you watch after-school specials with him and Cut Up?
I don't remember watching after-school specials with David. I do remember watching that program that would come on Sunday with the puppets. What's it called? Not Kukla. Is it Kukla Fun Ali or something? Kukla... Remember that show?
Yeah,
Puppet,
right.
And the Lamb Chop.
Right.
I watched that with David, and they would show old movies, like that Fatty and Skinny movie and The Red Balloon. I watched shows like that with David, and I Love Lucy, and I watched shows like that with him.
So you were close growing up?
David and I, he was the one, when we were younger, he would always do, like, characters and come up with, like, little movie scripts and stuff for us to act out when we were little. So we were close like that.
Did you put on, like, real shows in your basement and charge admission?
Yes. We put on plays, and then, like, if The Wizard of Oz was on TV or To Kill a Mockingbird, we would charge tickets, and, you know, people would come down in our basement and watch it. My mom would make a cake, stuff like that.
So did you think you were going to become a performer? Is that what you wanted to be? Because I think I read something about you wanting to be a cop.
I wanted to be a cop, and I wanted to work in the women's prison in North Carolina. I was just fascinated with the prisons and criminology, and then it dawned on me that I could just read those books or just play those parts. So I knew I wanted, you know, I just knew I wanted to perform, but I didn't really think about it till David called me one day and said, you know, you really should move from North Carolina and come to Chicago. There's a place here called Second City. It's perfect for you. So that's what I did, and then everything just happened from there. I got in and toured and started writing shows.
Who were the other members of Second City when you were there?
When I was there on main stage, it was Bonnie Hunt was on main stage, and Mike Myers. When I was hired, I was hired with Chris Farley and Tim Meadows and Paul and Steve and Greg, who were all in the show. And Ian Gomez, who's on TV now. It was like all six or seven of us were hired at the same time. So it was a pretty good year.
You left Chicago, moved to New York. David was already living in New York. Why did you move?
We were working on a play, and I just decided, okay, now what I really want to do is live in New York. I just couldn't go from, you know, North Carolina to New York. It would be too severe. So I just decided, okay, now's the time to go to New York City. We were doing plays anyway, and so we did a play called Stitches, and that's when Comedy Central approached the cast and said, hey, you want to do a sketch show? So ever since then, we just kind of fell into TV.
Well, now as adults, when you and your brother write together, is it the same process as when you were kids putting together shows?
Yeah, it is. We just, David's very disciplined. Where a lot of people say a lot of times improvisation is a lazy way of writing, but I'm more up on my feet. You know, David writes something and then he can hand it to me and then I get up on my feet and I act it out or add to it or improvise with it and then he'll go back to the typewriter and it's kind of like that process. But he's definitely, you know, more the writer. You know, it's our minds write it together. But it's a little different. I don't know how to explain it. A lot of times we don't really say no to each other, David and I. We just, any possibility. Like, okay, and the mother shows up on a horse. Okay, great. You know, we'll just go with it. It's fun like that. But he works really hard. You know, it's so nice to work with someone who's really going to go home and work on it some more when you just want to go home and sleep or whatever. So,
well, you seem to have a real physical sense of humor. I can't really say that David doesn't. I've never seen him read his stories or perform, but you do seem to specialize in that visual comedy. How did you develop that?
I don't know. I've always been that way. When we do plays and stuff, I'll ask for a door frame. We got to have a door on stage. I just want a door on stage. And then once we get the door on stage, it's like I need something just to be like, okay, now I'm going to go through the door. You know what I mean? It's like I like to be surrounded by, I love props and I love like real furniture on stage. And then you just find stuff and you play with it and just kind of, I'm not like an actress. I can't say I love you or I lost the baby or cry without laughing. You know, I'm just not good at it. So I'd rather physically try to find a way to find humor.
Since your comedy is so physical, I'm curious if there are any comedians you look to as an inspiration or you really enjoyed.
I'll tell you, I really go for more dramatic performers, people who can cry on the spot and stuff, like Helen Mirren or people like that. And then I always look at those people and think, okay, now how can I make that funny or, you know, physical or humorous or whatever. But my heroes, whatever, aren't comedians. Like, you have to drag me to a comedy. You have to drag me. And then when I go, I have such a good time. Like, I love... I loved Bullfinger, that movie. Is that Bullfinger, something like that it's called? Eddie Murphy in that was so funny. And I saw Jim Carrey. You know, I've seen him do some stuff, and he makes me laugh really hard.
Bowfinger.
It's a Bowfinger. Oh, I love that.
And
Steve Martin.
Why do you hate going to comedy shows, though?
It's already supposed to be funny or something. I don't know. I just go thinking, all right, I just don't like to laugh as much as I like to. Like, even my choices in books, I like serious, you know, like serious stuff. Because I guess because I can't do it or I don't, you know, have the tools to do it. But, originally when I came to New York, I did this thing at a theater called Laughter Through the Tears, where I mounted Night Mother and Come Back Little Sheba. And I stuck to the script. I just did it more character-driven, you know, like funny characters did the play. But, you know, and people would still laugh and cry. And it was great because I knew I couldn't do what Sissy's Basic does, you know. But I wanted to do that part so bad, you know, that play so bad. But again, I also pitched that as a TV show. I thought Night Mother would be a great sitcom. You know, like each week the girl tries to kill herself a different way. But it could be humorous. So that way I like, you know, I like to think of it that way. But again, when I go to a comedy, then I'm like, okay, that was funny, whatever. You know, but it's usually not my first choice or am I inspired by really funny, funny people.
Now, you also have another career, another job. You're a waitress. Right?
Mm-hmm. I still waitress. Mm-hmm.
Even though I assume you don't really need the money at this point, right?
Well, no. And I do it because I always, like, what else am I going to do on a Thursday night? I mean, I love making money and I have my whole life. Like, I like making cash. And it's great working at, it's Marion's on 4th and Bowery. And I make really good money and the people who work there are really cool. And I also make cupcakes and cheese balls on the side. And I'm doing pretty well with that little business of mine.
You sell them?
I sell them. I make them and sell them. And when I do plays, I sell them in the lobby. And people order them from me. And, like, I sold 4 cheese balls. I did the Conan O'Brien show a few weeks ago, and I was talking about my cheese balls, and I got 4 phone calls. And so I sold 4 cheese balls. And it's great because it's something to do with my hands at 3 in the morning.
Are these the things that are cheddar and port wine or something and have nuts all over them?
Well, maybe that's your recipe, Barbara. But my recipe, I make a traditional, and I make a smoky cheese ball. One's got A1 sauce, A1 steak sauce in it. Yeah, they're great. Cheese balls are great.
Uh-huh.
So and I'll make those.
When you sell them, are you in character?
No. No, it's me. It's me doing it for the money. You know, I'll stay up all night frosting 150 cupcakes just to make, you know, $150. You know, and all the money goes in a big mayonnaise jar I have a rabbit named Tattletail, and all the money goes into her jar just to, you know, for her food and stuff like that. So it's my business, Tattletail.
Amy, it's been a lot of fun talking to you. Thank you very much for coming on Fresh Air today.
Thank you.
Amy Sedaris, Strangers with Candy, airs Mondays at 10 on Comedy Central. Here's another clip from the show. Jerry is talking with the high school gym teacher, Coach Wolf. I'm Barbara Bogave, and this is Fresh Air.